This is the last Sunday after Trinity Bible Sunday. Yes, most Anglican churches celebrate this Sunday as Bible Sunday, when we give thanks for the Bible in the life of Christian faith. Today we commit or recommit ourselves to read, learn, meditate, understand, and to put it into practice. Today we also pray for those who don't have access to the Bible in their own language, or for whom owning and reading a Bible is an offense under the law of the land in which they live. I think to understand the Bible Sunday more clearly, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. What is the Bible? What is the Bible? The most read book in the whole of human history? Deliberately excluded from the bestseller list because it would skew the results? The Bible consists of a collection of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written over 1500 years. Even its collective name, the Bible, reinforces the fact. Bible derives from the Greek word Biblia, which means books, plural. And I would like to share some interesting facts about the Bible, and I guess some of you already know them, but it's good to remind ourselves. The Bible was written by more than 40 writers. It was written in three different languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Most of our Old Testament was written in Hebrew, with a few bits written in Aramaic, Ezra and Daniel. The New Testament was written in Greek, the commonly spoken language of the time. It was written on three different continents. Most were written in what is modern-day Israel, Asia. But some passages of Jeremiah were written in Egypt, Africa, and several New Testament epistles were written from cities in Europe. And the Bible has been translated so far into more than 700 languages and more than 5.6 billion people have access to a Bible in their own language. Just think about it. 40 different writers, three different languages, three different continents, different cultures, backgrounds. But when you read the Bible, it has an incredible coherence from start to finish. From Genesis through Revelation, there is consistency. There are thousands upon thousands of secular books. There are thousands upon thousands of religious books. There are thousands upon thousands of untold religions in the world, most of which have what they call sacred books or sacred writings. But what separates Christianity from all other world religions is the Bible and the God of the Bible. The Bible stands above all other sacred writings as it is filled with prophetic content. No other book in the secular society or in religious society, no other religious writings have a prophetic content. But the Bible is 27% prophetic, and over 80% of prophecies have already come to pass with complete and total accuracy. That gives us an intellectual reason to believe the Bible. The Bible is not only believable, but it is provable. The second question we can ask ourselves is, what does the Bible mean to me? What place do I give to the Word of God? And I wonder what the Bible means to you. For some, perhaps it's nice literature, which is a really interesting piece of text, an important part of our cultural heritage, the inspiration for some of our great works of art and literature, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, Leonardo's Last Supper, Michelangelo's sculptures and paintings. For many of us, the Bible is that. But it's so much more than that. It's the source and bedrock for all we believe, and the means by which we come to know most clearly the saving love of God in Christ Jesus. Truly, the Word of life. The Word of God only comes alive when we actually read it and begin to pray about what it means in our everyday lives. But how do we read the Bible is very important. For example, there is something called the horoscope method, or call it lucky dip, which some people do. What I mean by that is that they pick up one or two verses for the day, not for meditation, but for lucky charm. One man was doing it, and one day he was searching for his lucky dip, and he put his finger on the verse. And Judas went out and hanged himself. And then this man said, "Oh, no, 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 this is not for me, this is not for me." And he started searching it again. And he put his finger on Luke chapter 10, verse 37, that says, "Go and do likewise." I think that's not a very good way to read the Bible. Two verses a day to keep the devil away. The truth is that the Bible is not a book, as I said earlier. It's a whole library of 66 books. I believe that the best way to read the Bible is to read one book at a time. That you don't dip it into here and there and read a bit here and there. But read the Bible a book at a time. One piece of practical advice. If you read 3 chapters every day and 5 on a Sunday, you will be through it in 12 months from today. It's a good day to start. Some years ago in India, people started a beautiful thing to read the entire Bible in churches or public gatherings in one sitting. I had the privilege to participate in it twice. People would decide to read it as a whole. Each person committed at least 15 minutes to read it. Its average read aloud takes approximately 84 hours. For example, if you start tonight, you will finish it on Thursday morning by breakfast. I wish we could do that at St. Clement's. We need to engage with Scripture in a contemplative and prayerful way. And that means being prepared at times to hear what we do not want to hear. Because the Word of God is a mirror, and we see ourselves in it. As James says in the first chapter of his letter, it's a mirror. The Word of God only comes alive when we actually spend time in it. Dear friends, now is the time. We not only need quality time, but quantity time. We need to spend more time in Scriptures because the time is bad. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we are talking about the Bible, we are talking about words, of course, because that's what the Bible is, a huge collection of words. But we are talking about so much more than words on a page. The word of God in the Bible points to the living word of God, Jesus Christ, whom we come to know through its pages. And every Sunday and on other days too throughout the world, whether in church buildings or even online, the word of God is preached, broken open, bringing to life the words on the pages, to life and to inspire the life in faith. So when we read the words of St. Paul to Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's an encouragement to us to focus on, to ponder, to dwell upon the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the gospel, the word gospel is too good to be true. That's what it means. We need to read it. And for that to influence everything we do or everything we say, let the word of Christ make its home in you. Make sure you are well stocked with the treasure of God's word. Make sure the riches of God, the word of God, Christ, take up a residence in your life. At times of great turbulence and uncertainty throughout the history of humankind, the Bible has provided a source of comfort, assurance, and hope. Her Majesty the Queen once said in a speech, "To what greater inspiration and counsel can be turned than to the imperishable truth to be found in this treasure house, the Bible?" It's something Jesus pointed out to his own first followers in our reading this morning when he was telling them about a time of great turbulence to come when the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. That even when everything around is crumbling, even though heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away, says Jesus. God's word will continue throughout famine, pestilence, climate change, plague, pandemic, and war. And I wonder if this is something we particularly need to hear today. So much of what we thought we knew and the things that we trusted to be there always have been ended or taken away earlier by the pandemic and now by war. And even in these difficult times, the Bible gives us hope. The Bible gives us assurance because it shows us that God's big story and his ultimate plans for good are there for the whole created order. It gives us hope because we read in its pages that what we see and experience here and now is not all there is, and that God and his love and his goodness will ultimately prevail. As the great evangelist Billy Graham once said, "I have read the last page of the Bible and it's going to turn out all right." So this Sunday, can I encourage you, wherever you start from with the Bible, to consider taking it the next step. If you have never read it before, consider starting. One of the Gospels is a good place to start. If you're skeptical about the Bible, like doubting Thomas, give it another chance. If you know and love the Bible and you follow the God you find revealed in its pages, most especially in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, keep reading, keep meditating, keep exploring, keep studying, keep loving it, keep letting it dwell with its riches in your life day by day, with its transforming, life-affirming, hope-giving power. So today is Bible Sunday, a day when we are called to recognize the importance of scriptures in defining who we are as a community of faith. Today, we acknowledge that this collection of writings is for our instruction, for our encouragement. It's also the source of sure hope and assurance, a true gift from God. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.